Good morning. Thank you, Roger and Dan and Carol and Michael. Thank you to each one of you for your generosity this morning, your gift. We in kind, by we, I mean my wife Mary, and Samantha, daughter-in-law Samantha, did make our annual traditional granola, and so that is available out at the table, I believe, and so on your way out, please be sure and grab some. We really appreciate each and every one of you and are so thankful all year long, but especially reminded of that today. Well, let me go ahead and dismiss our youngest among us, and you are dismissed to go. You are free, released to go, to run to children's church, to junior church. For those of us still in here, today is the fourth Sunday now of Advent. The fourth Sunday now of Advent. What is screaming children and happy joy and laughter? What is this season just prior to Christmas, right? The season, this time of preparation and celebration of the coming, the arrival, we could say the Advent, right? The presence of Jesus here on earth. Again, not only some 2,000 years ago, and not only someday in the future, but even right here and right now today, from Alfred Delp. Again, one more time, Advent of the Heart. He writes, "Advent is the time of promise. It is not yet the time of fulfillment. But round about the horizon, there shines the first mild light of the radiant fulfillment to come. It is all far off still and only just announced, but it is happening today." And in that sense, again, Advent is that deep awareness that the very real presence of Jesus is here and now in our midst. And Advent then is our invitation to live more fully into that reality, to follow Jesus more fully in the way of that reality, a reality we have been exploring now for several weeks through this Advent season. First from Isaiah 35, and then the last 2 weeks, Luke 1, the Song of Mary, the Magnificat. And now today I want us to return back to Isaiah, back to the Gospel according to Isaiah, chapter 7. And so if you're grabbing a pew Bible, page 488, the words will be on the screen behind me. And so Isaiah 7, we're going to drop down to verse 10 and read through 14. Read through 14, and then we'll pray and then kind of unwrap it. Isaiah 7, verse 10, it says, we read, "Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, 'Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights.' But Ahaz said, 'I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test.' Then Isaiah said, 'Hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also?'" Verse 14, therefore, and here is where we will land for today. Isaiah 7 and 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." Let's pray. God, we are so thankful for this day, for the gift it is, as always, of gathering together. And as we now lean into your words, may we each be attentive to the leading of your Spirit. Come, open our hearts and minds. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I know not what my name may be. I only know my Lord's decree, that in his book, beside his throne, he writes my name as his alone. No one can hear it, no one can say the name that love has hid away. But when he calls, I'll rise and see the face that loved and died for me. written by the Scottish theologian and poet George MacDonald, I think he really kind of captures here the essence. He captures here the kind of the personal and sacred essence of a name. And it is that essence then that we also find here today in Isaiah 7 and 14, noting the wonder, the miracle, the revelation. It is not in the virgin birth, but rather it is in the giving of the name. It is in the name given, as we read here, Vekarat Shemo in Hebrew, which literally translates, not "and will call him," but translates "and will call his name." Vekarat Shemo, "and will call his name." Putting the emphasis here squarely on the name. Giving us, I think, then a deeper understanding, noting the act of naming, especially in the ancient Hebrew world, had such a profound significance. You might remember this back in our time in Parsha Shemot from Rabbi Benjamin Blech. He writes, "Names represent our identity, not simply because they are a convenient way to allow us to be distinguished one from another. It is because they define us. The names we are given at birth are not accidental, are to some extent prophetic. They capture our essence. They are," meaning our names, "they are the keys to our soul." And so just what is this not accidental, to some extent prophetic name? It is Emmanuel, right? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and it says we will call his name Emmanuel. Right, this is Isaiah. He's peering over the horizon, the story of the birth of Jesus, reminding us that at the very heart of God is Vekarat Shemo Emmanuel. Where then Matthew picks up the story, hundreds and hundreds of years later, Matthew picks up the story, now quoting Isaiah, "and will call his name," right, Emmanuel. Meaning, Matthew tells us, God with us. God with us. And we can think back to Isaiah 35, one stone and possibly smooth. Right, God with us. Even in, or we could say especially in the midst of the untamed riverbeds, right? The jagged rocks, the rugged terrain. Right, God with us. We can think Luke 1, God with us, right? That hope proclaimed to the one in need. Right, his name is Emmanuel. His name is God with us. In fact, all through, the whole of the Bible speaks to this, speaks to the with-us-ness of God, announces and affirms the with-us-ness of God. In fact, if we go back again to the Torah for a moment, again, by way of remembrance for some, this, the Torah being the first five books of our Bibles, we spent the better part of the last 2 years there, and more specifically, again, to Parsha Shemot, which picks up at the beginning of the book of Exodus. Again, we call Exodus, Exodus. In Hebrew, in Judaism, it's called Shemot, Sefer Shemot, which is the book of names. And here we dive into Parsha Shemot, which picks up again, the Exodus 1 through 6. Here we find it in Exodus 3, so right in the middle of Parsha Shemot. The story here is not one that we looked at when we went through it the first time. But God is with Moses at the burning bush and telling Moses that yes, and here it says, he has seen the misery and he has seen the suffering of the people. He then adds 3 and 10, "So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." And then dropping down to verse 13, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" Verse 14, God said to Moses, "Ehyeh asher ehyeh, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites." And then again we read, "Ehyeh, I am, has sent me to you." Hehe is translated I am. That can be translated as I will be. And so either one, I am who I am, I will be who I will be. Either way, it is usually understood to speak of God's kind of self-existence. It is used to speak of or to emphasize his eternal nature. And with that, then, it conveys this idea of transcendence, of God's transcendence. And that's wonderful and good and right. But with that, there's another way of diving into this verse that travels all the way back to the ancient sages and rabbis, keeping in mind just a few verses back, before verse 10, back at verse 10, just after God says to Moses, I am sending you to Pharaoh. Verse 11, we read this, we read, but Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And then verse 12, we read, Vayomer ki ehye imach in the Hebrew. And so we get this, the same word, ehye. And what is here written, right, Vayomer, and he, God, said, ki ehye imach, and God said, it translates, and God said, I will be with you. Making then this connection, creating this connection to verse 14, that all the sages, as Rabbi David Foreman puts it, all the sages are saying the next time God is using these words, ehye, he means the same thing. Moses, you felt yourself to be in a time of trouble. Listen, I told you it is going to be okay. I will be with you, right? That is my name. That is the name of God. I will be with you. You are never alone in your times of trouble. Again, I am with you. Point being that the very name of God, right? Again, not accidental, to some extent prophetic, that the essence, the key, Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh, right? And we'll call his name, Vekarat Shemo Immanuel. He is Immanuel, right? He is. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and we'll call his name God with us. Noting it is that central message that runs all through the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, the most frequent promise is God with us. When entering the wilderness, the Bible says, Exodus 13 and 21, by day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or by night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Right? Point being, God was with them. Day and night, 24/7. Daylight savings time or not daylight savings time. Right? In the long days of summer or in these short days of winter, God was with them. When God charged Joshua with crossing the Jordan, leading the Israelite people and crossing the Jordan River, this is recorded Joshua 1 and 5. He says, as I was with Moses, what is a direct reference back to Parsha Shemot, back to Sefer Shemot. As I was with Moses, so Ehyeh Imach. We read it again. I will be with you. Right? It's the very name of God. Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. The very name of God. And we'll call his name, Vekarat Shemo, Immanuel. He is Immanuel, right? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we'll call him. The very essence, the very heart, Is God with us. From the great Psalm 23, verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, we could say, even though I walk through the untamed riverbeds, the jagged rocks, even though I walk through the rugged terrain, I will fear no evil. That can be translated, I will fear no bad thing, for you are with me. Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. Jesus, his final words to his disciples, often called the Great Commission, he ends his whole directive with these words saying, and surely I am with you always to the very end. Surely I am with you. Right? Ehyeh Asher Ehyeh. what is, as John Wesley puts it, the best of all. The best of all is God with us. Noting with all of that comes then the invitation. The invitation to you and me. We read at Revelation 3 and 20, Jesus is speaking, "Here I am," he says. "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with," right? God with us, and eat with that one and that one with me. Author and theologian Richard Foster, he paraphrases that passage like this. He says, "Through Scripture, we heard God whispering down. Through Scripture, we heard God whispering down through the centuries, 'I am with you, I am with you, I am with you.' Then we heard God asking a question that searches the human person to the depths. Are you willing to be with me?" Words of author and theologian Frederick Buechner, "There is no event so commonplace but that God is present within it, always leaving you room to recognize him or not." Which I think makes for the perfect time to kind of center ourselves around and question and ask and consider and contemplate, right? Are we doing life with an awareness of God's presence? Do we do life with an awareness of God's presence as we head into this coming week and then the new year? Will we be doing life with an awareness of God's presence? We could ask, are we paying attention to the God who is with us? Right? When we wake up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, at work, at home, friends, family, are we paying attention to the God who is with us? From Rabbi Shefa Gold, she writes, "Each day I wake up with an intention that when I open my eyes, I will see and recognize God's face," right? God with us. When the scriptures speak of face, they're speaking of the presence of God with us. "Each day I wake up with an intention that when I open my eyes, I will see and recognize God's face in the details of the day I'm about to encounter. I prepare myself for wonder." And so do we live each day intent on seeing and recognizing God's face, God's presence? And then with that, do we begin each day preparing ourselves for God's wonder? Right, Advent is such a time. Advent is such a time. And then in turn, to be mindful of others as we think about being aware of God's presence with us, inviting us to consider, are we doing life aware of the presence of one another? Are we aware of the presence of one another? Are we paying attention to the other who is present with us? I think for each of us, the danger becomes that life gets so cluttered that we forget, right? That the very heart of life is being with God and being with one another. From author John Ortberg, and we're going to close here, and we'll have a little bit of space just to sit in stillness. It's probably one of my favorite quotes. Speaking to the presence of God, he writes, "God is crying out all around us. He is present in the breathless silence of the snow-smothered mountains. He is dancing with the sunlight that shatters on the ocean's waves. He is hiding in the decaying moss and lichen and crumbling shale and the old forgotten places in the world. No jagged mountain throws its sharp weight against the sky that is not a testament to his goodness. The entire sum of creation, each private and individual act of nature, is God waving hello. Set aside for now your past failures or future worries. The teaching of Scripture is that God really is present right here, right now. The Spirit of God is available to you and me, flowing all the time, welling up within us, quenching our unsatisfied desires, overflowing to refresh those around us. He is at work all the time in every place, and every once in a while, somebody somewhere wakes up." Are we doing life aware of the presence of God? Are we doing life with the awareness and awareness of the presence of one another? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, Vekarat Shemo Emmanuel, and will call his name Emmanuel, meaning God with us.